Pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
There's no such thing as you have too much grace, but there is such a thing as you have so much grace, but you don't have truth. God wants us to be full of grace and full of truth.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Word and Spirit, The Beauty of Balance, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. Now, if you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you this resource, today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? If all you had was the Word and no Spirit, you'd dry up. If all you had was Spirit and no Word, you'd probably blow up. But in Christ, you've been given Word and Spirit so you can grow up. I want to talk to you about Word and Spirit. We start today in John chapter 16 and this final discourse of Jesus as he is comforting his disciples about the fact that he's going to be leaving and he's going to be ascending to heaven. And so he wants to talk to them about why it's actually better that he goes away, because the Holy Spirit's going to come. And I want you to just pay a special attention, and the main reason to read this text is how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. We're at John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7, the words of Jesus. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So Jesus calls him the Helper, which means the one who comes alongside, a parakletos, called alongside is what it means. And then he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. This is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. Because in him, there is the fullness of God's eternal Word and the fullness of God's dynamic power. The creative and resurrection power of God is at work in this world and in your life and in mine through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So when we as evangelicals talk about you're born again and you have Jesus in your heart, we really mean you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, because you don't have a little physical person of Jesus, and you have the Spirit of Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples, even these men who he had spent the majority of his time with for 3 years, he told them, it's better that I go away, because it's going to be better when the Holy Spirit comes. It's an astounding thought. And then one other scripture, you need not turn there. I'm just going to read this one verse for you from 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. Or some translations say God breathed, or some just say inspired, because inspired means God breathed, to breathe into. That's what inspire means. The Spirit is in that word, in spirit, inspire. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We're going to talk today about the balance of word and spirit. There was a man named John Wimber who in 1963 was wonderfully born again as a Christian. And by his own testimony, he said up until that point, he was a drug-using, beer-guzzling, pagan pop musician who came to Christ while chain-smoking his way through a Bible study that he was in. And after John Wimber became a Christian, he became ravenously hungry for God's Word, and he began reading and poring through the Gospels and poring through the Scriptures and reading all of the incredible accounts of everything Jesus did and what life was like in the early church and all these miracles. And so finally, he came to one of the lay leaders in his sort of mainline church and said, when do we get to do the stuff? And the lay leader said, what stuff? He said, you know, all the stuff, the stuff Jesus and his disciples did, all the healing of the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and raising the dead and casting out demons, all that stuff. When do we get to do that stuff? And the lay leader said, well, we don't really do that stuff. We just come to church. And John's response was classic. He said, man, and I gave up drugs for that. There is, people's experience in our culture that have come through even the evangelical church, where there has been much emphasis on the Word and not as much emphasis on the Spirit. Others who may be under the sound of my voice, you have been in context where there has been a lot of emphasis on the Spirit, on the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, and maybe not as much attention or love for the Word. And what we're learning about balance is that the idea of balance in a spiritual sense doesn't mean that you're staying in this safe little middle place like this. But what balance is better seen as a tightroper, a tightrope walker who's got one of those long poles that stretches out like this, and he holds it to help him balance, because it's a physics principle, and it's helping distribute his weight away from his body. It makes him actually more stable to have that weight out, and it gets the foundation of his weight down lower, and he's able to balance. That's a wonderful image where there's no such thing as you have too much grace. But there is such a thing as you have so much grace, but you don't have truth. God wants us to be full of grace and full of truth. There's no such thing as having too much truth, but if you only have truth and you don't have grace, then there's a problem. And there's no such thing as having too much of the Holy Spirit. And there's no such thing as having too much of the Word. But if you have Holy Spirit but not Word, then there'll be an instability and a lack of sense of identity in Christ and authority. And if you have so much Word but no Spirit, as we'll see today, it becomes pharisaical, and it becomes dry, it becomes dogmatic, and no power in ministry. So what God invites us into as a Christian, and this is the wonderful way that we grow, and this is how we're going to change the world, is that we're people of Word and Spirit, and there never, ever was meant to be any divorce or separation between Word and Spirit. I know that in the body of Christ that there are differences of opinion, and I don't really plan today to do a major theological argument in one direction or other, as much as just to tell some personal experience, give a sense of what the Scripture is saying about this, and how you and I can, I think, in a very sensible way, realize we need the Holy Spirit and we need God's Word.
That's Alan Ryan. We'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
If you've ever thought that being filled with the Holy Spirit meant shutting off your mind, you're in for a wonderful surprise. God's Word and God's Spirit were never meant to be separated. Word and Spirit always belong together. The key to abundant life in Christ isn't knowing your Bible. The secret isn't being filled with the Spirit. The answer is both Word and Spirit. Though some traditions emphasize studying scripture and some traditions emphasize the spirit, the path to real Christian growth is the fullness of both word and spirit. As someone once said, all word, no spirit, you dry up. All spirit, no word, you blow up. Both word and spirit, you grow up. When you make a gift of support this month, we'll send you Alan Wright's newest audio album on CD or digital download, titled Word and Spirit. It's about the beauty of balance. Embrace the fullness of God's Word and His Spirit and grow like never before. With Word and Spirit, you'll grow up and you'll be helping someone else grow as well. And remember, when you partner with Alan Wright Ministries, you'll be broadcasting the love of God to thousands every day. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
All right, I've done this little juvenile thing with you before, but do it again. Just bear it with me because it proves something. I'll give you a picture. Maybe you'll remember. Take your hand, put it right in front of your mouth, an inch away from your mouth. If you're listening on the radio, don't do this. Say, let there be light. Just say it. Let there be. Okay, what do you feel on the back of your hand? You feel your breath. Now, what this is a wonderful picture of is that as God has designed it, for those of us who are able to have vocal cords and speech and all the wonderful gift of that, that what is filling up your word is your breath, literally. So when I'm speaking the word, let there be light, my breath is in that word. And it's so interesting that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek, in both the Hebrew and the Greek, the word for breath is also translated spirit. So we sometimes don't know whether we should translate it in our English versions. We don't know whether we should translate it breath or wind or spirit. And the reason this is such a powerful image is because you could understand that in the same way, literally, our breath is in our word, you could understand that God's breath is in His word. What 2 Timothy says is all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired. In other words, the Scriptures, the Word of God is just full of the breath of God, full of the Spirit of God. It was interesting in one instance where Jesus had a time with His disciples, and it says He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He is a symbol. It's a picture of the way you could understand the Word of God is that the Word of God is full of the Spirit of God. And one of the ways that you can understand who the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the one who fills up the Word of God. So there is no separation between Word and Spirit, although Word and Spirit are distinct. And God is a triune God. This is one of the mysteries of the faith. It's very hard to wrap your mind around it, but it is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but He's one God. He's one God in three persons, but He's one God. And this can be confusing to other religions. How could you have one and three? It's a mystery that transcends our mind, but God is one God, but He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son of God is called the Word in John chapter 1, who became flesh. And the Spirit of God, Jesus says, I send forth. So the most important thing to understand about this is that the Spirit Himself is God Himself. So God is with us by the presence of His Holy Spirit. So there's no difference in saying God is with us or saying the Holy Spirit is with us. No difference in saying you have Jesus in your heart or you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. The way in which you commune with God your Father is by the very real presence of the Holy Spirit. And so what we need is not only our meditation in the Word that is the truth, but we need the illumination and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Word is full of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit illumines the Word. And so what happens is that this Word, the Scripture, which is timeless and true, lies there like words on a page unless the Holy Spirit makes them alive to you. And this is why it's so important to just open up yourself to let God reveal himself to you in the scriptures. Because a truth, even if it's an absolute truth, if you don't know it and you don't believe it, it's not a truth to you or for you. When you believe something that's false, you believe it's true. And so when you have a paradigm shift and something changes in your way of thinking, and we say the light turns on, or I see it differently now. Well, what we mean is there was something that I was blind to before. I saw incorrectly. It was false, and I believed it. But now I see what the truth is. And this is so much of what Jesus means when he says, it's better for you that I go away because I'll send the Spirit of truth. And he's going to show you the truth. He's going to show you the truth about who I am. He's going to show you the truth about who you are. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we need the Holy Spirit, who is filled to this Word, to make this Word alive to us so that our faith explodes. I think I've mentioned to you before that Ann's uncle Stanley once had a neighbor who had a little 5-year-old boy who was afraid of dogs. Particularly, he was afraid of a dog in the neighborhood named Lucky. And the boy's mother decided that in order to help him overcome this fear, she would have him memorize the scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And so the little boy memorized it, and he had to say it over and over until he had it just down pat. And one day, the little boy's outside, and here comes Lucky, and the boy's just as scared as he's ever been. And his mother says, now, what did I teach you? Now, you just go ahead and say it. Say it out loud. And he said, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. But I'm still afraid of Lucky. What was he saying to us? Is that I know what this word says, but this word hasn't become my word yet. It hasn't become real to me yet. And so often this happens. If we think that the word is just this dormant kind of religious text, and it never has life to us, and it never really means anything to us. And so what God does is he is in a miraculous way, he who has filled this word with his spirit also makes this word unique to you by his spirit. You see, people are concerned that people rightly are concerned. We don't want to have revelation that's extra biblical that in some way adds to the Bible. But what I'm saying is that the Bible, God's word, is being attended to by God's spirit. And he is utterly for you getting this and seeing this. I think I may have shared one time before, but it's sort of a tender and beautiful story in my life. I say it with care so as not to cause any offense to anyone who would hear this from a previous chapter in ministry in my life. But we were in Durham pastoring a church for about 8 years, and it was a wonderful, wonderful church with so many, many dear friends. And the church had a warm evangelical message of the love of God and how you can have a personal relationship with Christ, and we grew a lot. And in the midst of this time, I also was growing in my faith and growing in my experience of the power of God. You must understand this. Let me just say this parenthetically. The reason that I am attracted and want more of the power of God is not for the sake of having the power of God, but I want people to be helped. I want people to be helped. I see what people walk through. I see the sicknesses that people face. I see the difficulties in relationship. I see the confusion. I see the pain. I see young people today. I talk to the girls that are cutting themselves and feel suicidal. I talk to the boys who are lost in confusion without a sense of purpose. I talk to the people who are in depression. I see what is going on, and I want people to receive help from God. So this is really the thing that fuels me, being open to the power of God. Well, in this time of ministry, sometime around about our 6th year in Durham, I began to discover a principle and the power of blessing as seen in the scriptures, as the Hebrew patriarchs would bless their children. And I began to see the call on our lives to speak blessing, which is essentially a powerful, faith-filled vision that is in accord with scripture, uniquely spoken over someone's life. And what happens in our lives is, just as God interacts with us, as we interact with others, and we announce that sense of positive destiny, people's hearts become filled with faith, and they rise up to meet that. There is a real virtue that is released when you bless somebody, and it has a prophetic significance to it. And I was teaching about this in my church, and it was a very powerful thing to be discovering. And at the end of the service, the first service that day, I just felt led to say, and we never did this. We didn't have healing ministry teams. We didn't have prayer ministry, life ministry. We didn't have that kind of thing. But on this day, I said, if you would like for me to come and just lay hands on you, speak a blessing over your life, at the end of the service, after the benediction, just stay in your pew, and I'll be so happy to come and just speak this blessing over you. And after that first service, maybe a dozen people stayed. And I went, and as I began to lay hands on people and speak blessing over them, something happened that had never happened in my public ministry ever before. I could only say it was a prophetic type thing. It began to happen. I was completely just under an unction of the Holy Spirit. And I just began to speak whatever words I felt like the Lord was giving me as I was speaking these words of positive vision over these lives. And one after the other, as I began to just bless like this, you could just see there was something that was being imparted in people's lives. And there were some miraculous things that were happening. I remember in particular, after that first service, there was one young couple, and as far as I knew, they had a wonderful marriage. And I just began to bless their marriage. And the words that I was speaking as I was blessing their marriage, it began to have the sense of maybe there was struggle in their marriage. And I remember even feeling like, why are these words coming out? Because I don't know. And later, as they wept and they later came to me and said, how did you know we were having so much difficulty in those areas in our marriage that you blessed? I said, I didn't know, but God knew that. And this kind of thing began happening around the room. And after the second service, I gave the same invitation. Even more people stayed. And I went and I laid hands on people. And I was absolutely enthralled and full of worship to the Lord to be an instrument of His grace like that. Lives were being touched.
Alan Wright, and today's teaching, part one of three, Word and Spirit. It's part of the series, The Beauty of Balance. Stick with us. Alan is back here in the studio in a moment with additional insight on this for your life today and our final word.
If you've ever thought that being filled with the Holy Spirit meant shutting off your mind, you're in for a wonderful surprise. God's Word and God's Spirit were never meant to be separated. Word and Spirit always belong together. The key to abundant life in Christ isn't knowing your Bible. The secret isn't being filled with the Spirit. The answer is both Word and Spirit. Though some traditions emphasize studying Scripture and some traditions emphasize the Spirit, the path to real Christian growth is the fullness of both Word and Spirit. As someone once said, all Word, no Spirit, you dry up. All Spirit, no Word, you blow up. Both Word and Spirit, you grow up. When you make a gift of support this month, we'll send you Alan Wright's newest audio album on CD or digital download, titled Word and Spirit. It's about the beauty of balance. Embrace the fullness of God's Word and His Spirit and grow like never before. With Word and Spirit, you'll grow up and you'll be helping someone else grow as well. And remember, when you partner with Alan Wright Ministries, you'll be broadcasting the love of God to thousands every day. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Alan, we find maybe some extremes in the church where we have some that are so focused on doctrine that they never allow the Holy Spirit to move. And then the opposite can be true in some Christian circles. And this is all about the balance of the Word and Spirit.
Well, what we're going to keep saying is all Word, no Spirit, you dry up. All Spirit, no Word, you blow up. But Word and Spirit, and you grow up. And I think that it's not to say, to be in balance of word and spirit is not to say, oh, don't get too much of the spirit or don't get too much of the word. There's no such thing as having too much of the Holy Spirit or too much of the word in your life.
Right.
It is to say that one is never to be divorced from the other. Absolutely the key to Christian growth.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.